This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiyes Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Yes, election day in Guinea-Bissau yesterday went smoothly and without major incidents. National and international observers gave a positive note to the electoral process, which, according to them, was free and transparent.
That's VOA Portuguese to Africa Service Managing Editor Alvaro Andrade reporting on yesterday's Guinea-Bissau's legislative election. Details coming up. Also, a Nigerian-American leads a city in the western United States. And South Africa faces hard diplomatic choices. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. The city of Colorado Springs in the U.S. western state of Colorado is preparing to inaugurate its first elected black mayor on Tuesday. Yemi Mobo-Olaye, an immigrant from Nigeria, will oversee the affairs of Colorado's second largest city. Haruna Shehu has gathered reactions from some Americans of African descent in the city.
Colorado Springs, a city of nearly 500,000 people, is politically known as a conservative Republican stronghold. As a result, Yemi Mobo-Olaye, a newcomer who ran as an independent candidate, set off something of political earthquake when he won the mayoral runoff election last month. On Tuesday, Mobo-Olaye's term as the 42nd mayor of Colorado Springs begins. He has made history not only as the first elected black mayor of the city, but also the first non-Republican elected to the office. Mobo-Olaye came to the U.S. 27 years ago as a student. He settled in Colorado Springs in 2010 and became a U.S. citizen in 2017. He co-founded two restaurants and founded a church in the city. But what earned him the trust of many residents was his stint as the small business development manager for Colorado Springs from 2019 to 2022. Some members of the black community in Colorado Springs told VOA that Mobo-Olaye's electoral victory sends powerful messages.
Colorado Springs is lavishly hospitable, very hospitable. If the natives of Colorado Springs have not received us with an open heart, there is no way we would have accomplished all we have accomplished.
I think it is something that is very amazing to celebrate, and I think it's something that is very timely as well. Colorado Springs has a very diverse population, and I think their legislative body should also reflect that as well.
That's the testament to the fact that Coloradians are not, they are not racist. They don't believe in ethnicity or stuff like that. They believe in competence and capacity and capability. And they found out that Mr. Yemi has it all.
The mayor-elect himself acknowledges that as a newcomer, he lacks the political experience of other candidates. But he thinks that will be his way to change the status quo in the city's leadership. Haruna Shehu, VOA News, Colorado Springs.
Many Nigerians are complaining about the hardships they are facing after President Bola Tinubu ended the fuel subsidy, sending prices soaring. Our reporter in Nigeria samples the views of some residents.
The cost of buying fuel has more than doubled since President Bola Tinubu's inauguration last week and his announcement the fuel subsidy was ending. The government has said the subsidy for consumer fuel was unsustainable and cost the country billions of dollars needed for other areas. But for many Nigerians, it has meant sharp rise in the cost of doing business. A bus driver in Abuja named Ephraim laments that the ordinary Nigerian is hit the hardest.
We are surprised that the APC government can do this kind of thing. It's so tough and discouraging because we as transporters, we are not finding it easy. There is no profit at all in the business any longer.
Charles, a public servant, calls the increase unfair.
I am not coping. In fact, I don't want to cope because I am stressed emotionally, physically, financially, and otherwise. I just pray the government can do something. It is really, really, really stressful and draining and depressing.
Businesswoman Choma says it wasn't a good way for the new government to greet citizens.
It has not been easy. If anyone tells you it is easy, the person is a big liar. How much am I making in a month that I'm going to be paying 120,000 naira on a monthly? This is so crazy. I'm just praying that we will just sleep and wake up from this dream.
Uber driver Abdul says the fuel petrol hike means fewer riders.
The pricing of the ride has gone beyond times two. That's one thing you have to understand. So the riders, as you said, are not prepared for the increase. People who normally take cab before now have to go along the road to start flagging up cars because they can't actually afford it.
All those who spoke with VOA appealed to the government to swiftly ease the suffering of Nigerians who already have been experiencing a cash crunch. For VOA News, from Abuja, Nigeria.
Citizens of Guinea-Bissau voted yesterday in a highly anticipated election to fill the country's national legislature more than a year after the president dissolved the parliament. VOA's Portuguese to Africa managing editor Alvaro Andrade is in the capital, Bissau, to brief us on the latest.
Yes, election day in Guinea-Bissau yesterday went smoothly and without major incidents. National and international observers gave a positive note to the electoral process, which, according to them, was free and transparent. Yesterday, I spoke to some voters who said that their names were not on the list, but the National Election Commission said later that the main problems were resolved, but some voters did not correct errors after voter registration 1 month ago. This was the problem of some of this situation. In the polling station we visit, everything was peaceful. Political leaders said everything went well. And I spoke with the head of the ECOWAS mission, the former president of Cabo Verde, Jorge Fonseca, and he said that the process was free and calm. However, all observers or international observers will present their reports tomorrow at the joint press conference. African Union and the Francophonie organization and the Portuguese country-speaking organization and ECOWAS. The National Election Commission will announce the results on Wednesday, maybe in the morning. The two main parties, the coalition Pai Terra Lanka, which won the election in 2019, and MADEM, the second major party, are hoping for victory. And the president, Umaro Sissoko Embalo, said yesterday in Gabu that everyone must respect the result and that he will not allow disorder. And he said that there will be no Sonko here, referring to the situation in Senegal. So far, no political party has released any results. It seems everyone is waiting for the official results on Wednesday.
So nearly 1 million voters were registered to elect more than 100,000 lawmakers from six parties. Could you break that down for us to explain it a little bit more?
Yes, it's almost 900,000 voters. 37,000 in Europe and other African countries, and they already chose 102 deputies for the parliament, and the political party most voted will lead the government. The president should choose the leader this election. We don't know if it's going to be the PAIGC, lead the coalition PAI Terra Ranca, or MADEM. The second major party is a party near to the president.
Alvaro, citizens hope this vote will help set the country on the right path. But since assuming office, the president Embalo has kind of cracked down on civic freedoms and he has consolidated his grip on power.
Yes, it's true. And the political observers in the Bissau, the Guinea-Bissau, said the president wants a country with the presidentialism. Now it's the government who rules the country. The president is like a referee, but since Umaro Sissoko Embalo got the power, he is the head of government. There is a head of government, but in the daily basis, he runs the country because he Yesterday, he told he will inaugurate an airport in Gabu. He will prepare a road in the Guinea-Bissau, and he leads the government meeting, not the prime minister. Usually, in the system like Guinea-Bissau, like Cabo Verde, like Portugal, on Europe, like the parliament, the power is in the parliament and in the government, but now is the president. And yesterday, the president said, here in Guinea-Bissau, I'm Kim Il-sung. Like Kim Il-sung would means, I am the man of the power in Guinea-Bissau. This is a concern for the political parties and from some observers. But let's see what's going to happen the next month, because after the election, I think in 1 and 2 weeks, the president will invite the winner to present the new government.
VOA's Portuguese to Africa Management editor Alvaro Andrade is closely following the legislative elections in Guinea-Bissau. He spoke to me from the capital, Bissau. Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni will travel to Tunisia tomorrow, looking to make progress in unlocking loans from the International Monetary Fund, IMF, for the North African state. Two diplomatic sources told Reuters News Italy is concerned that without the funds, Tunisia faces a financial crisis that could push more migrants across the Mediterranean Sea in search of a better life in Europe. Talks between Tunisia and the IMF for a $1.9 billion loan have been stalled for months, with Tunisian President Kais Saied rejecting key terms for the proposed deal. Saied seized most powers in 2021, shutting down parliament and moving to rule by decree. During that time, the economy has weakened. United Nations data shows that about half of the 51,000 boat migrants who reached Italy by the first week of June this year set sail from Tunisia, compared with about 3,500 a year ago. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. Senegal has been rocked by 3 days of violent protests in which 16 people have died, one of its deadliest bouts of civil unrest in decades. The protests began last week after a court convicted opposition leader Ousmane Sonko of corruption youth after it acquitted him of raping a worker at a massage salon. The court issued a 2-year prison sentence, which could keep Sonko from running in the 2024 election. Reporter Alpha Diallo in Dakar tells VOA's Douglas Mpuga that there were no protests on Monday in Dakar and the city was generally calm.
It's calm generally because there hasn't been any report of any manifestation or demonstrations in Dakar and some of the outskirts like Kermasar, Tengich, and where the situation was very violent over the past 2 days. But Dakar today is relatively calm, vehicles are plying. But then I noticed that the express train is not moving today, it's being suspended. The most interesting thing is that the situation has been gradually, according to the police, they said that they are trying to control the situation. And I can just add that yesterday the police, they had press conference in the evening, try to inform the general public what transpired between these last 3 days when there was very serious rioting. And the police commissioner said that about 16 people lost their lives, but then there were also infiltrators among the demonstrators, among the protesters, because some people were caught with firearms, which even the police hasn't got. So this is what the police commissioner said last night in a press briefing.
We understand that the government has got access to some mobile internet services in certain areas. Is that correct?
That's correct. It is affecting everybody, including myself, WhatsApp, Twitter, Instagram. In fact, somebody, an expert on internet, was said in one radio station that this is one of the biggest mistakes that the government is doing, because this is not affecting only the general public, but it is affecting those who are working at home and some of these people who are using the internet for their business transactions, like money transfer outlets. That's why today I have gone out and seen that most of these money transfer outlets and some of the banks at the outskirts of Dakar, they all remain closed because they have no network to do their work.
Is this only in Dakar or is it across the country?
This is across the country. This is general. It's affecting everybody because last night somebody was trying to reach me by WhatsApp. He said that he was able to do that because he had to upload an app called, VPN. And even some people who have been using VPN and other, fast internet apps, they have noticed that even the speed has been, affected right now. Most people have no access to internet. That is very true.
Now that Ousmane Sonko was sentenced to 2 years in jail, and still President Macky Sall has refused to rule out running for a third term, do you think the protests will stop or maybe they'll continue?
I can only tell you that members of Mr. Ousmane Sonko, Patriots Party, the PASTEF, even last night they issued a press release saying that they are calling all their members and all their sympathizers and the Senegalese public in general to come out in large numbers to continue this protest, this demonstration, until President Macky Sall quit office. This is what they said. But as things look like at the moment, I think that would be very difficult because, just as I said, the army has been deployed in most strategic positions. They are taking their position everywhere. You see the military, the army, the police. And so many things have been vandalized in this country. So many businesses, people lost everything. So many supermarkets have been completely burned down, vandalized. So this is the reason why the army have taken position. So I doubt whether their call will be heeded by people. And the other interesting thing is, which I forgot to tell you, that during the press briefing yesterday, the commissioner of police, the director of public protection, mentioned that they have so far arrested about 500 people. Some of them you have minors, but majority of them people who have even were caught with very dangerous firearms.
That's reporter Alpha Jallo. He spoke with VOA's Douglas Mpuga from Dakar. The South African government says it will not move the summit of the BRICS countries scheduled for Johannesburg in August to another nation. South Africa is under pressure to arrest Russian President Vladimir Putin on war crimes. Darren Taylor reports.
As a member of the International Criminal Court, South Africa is obliged to arrest the Russian leader should he set foot on its territory. The governing African National Congress, the ANC, has close ties with Moscow and says it will not take Putin into custody. There have been several reports recently that Pretoria wants the BRICS summit moved to China to avoid further international condemnation for its policy toward Russia over its war in Ukraine. But some government officials told VOA that South Africa will host the meeting, with the ANC working on several plans to avoid having to arrest Putin. Africa-Asia Dialogues researcher Tembisa Fakude doesn't think the summit will move.
It's all systems go, is a done deal. They just have to now deal with certain technical issues. And the elephant in the room, at least for South Africans, is how do they deal with Vladimir Putin?
South Africa says it's neutral on Russia's invasion of Ukraine, and earlier this year held exercises with Russia's navy in South African waters. That position puts it at odds with the European Union and the United States, two of South Africa's major trade partners. Fakude says it's a no-win situation for the South African government, whatever it does about Putin.
The horse is bolted in this regard. The discussion is much, much more broader. The world expects answers. The technical justifications that we've been given, I think it's just too late in the day for South Africa to do anything, even if it could be a legal intervention that could allow Vladimir Putin to come to this country. I think many people will be disappointed, and we are likely, again, to be on the wrong side of global public opinion in this regard.
Danny Bradlow studies the BRICS grouping, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, at the University of Pretoria. He says the organization should have agreed a long time ago to hold the summit virtually.
We should assume Russia is not going to be particularly helpful. It sees itself as a great power and that its president should be able to go wherever he wants. And that probably means they're not going to tell us till the last minute whether President Putin will come or not. There has been some talk of moving the summit. That, I think, makes us look bad.
Bradlow says BRICS is presenting a united front of backing Putin as it moves toward admitting new members in August. But behind the scenes, he says, there's tension, with Brazil in particular unhappy about the economic hardship that Putin's war in Ukraine has created, such as rising prices for grain and fuel. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Today is World Environment Day. To mark the day, we go to South Sudan. Juliana Siapai reports from Juba.
According to the United Nations Environment Program, or UNEP, South Sudan is endowed with diverse natural forests and woodlands. UNEP says forests cover an estimate area of 191,667 square kilometers, which is about 30% of the country's land mass. But officials with the country ministries of environment and forestry say there is widespread cutting of trees across South Sudan by soldiers, traders, and some individuals from the neighboring. Joseph Africano Bartel is the undersecretary in the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. He says South Sudan is experiencing deforestation due to instability. Bartel says the Ministry of Environment and Forestry plan to embark on reviving teak plantations to stop deforestation in some parts of the country.
We have several forest reserves and we have some teak plantations, but because of the war, all those places have been devastated and all the government reserves, we cannot have access to them. Rebels and people are cutting those trees. But now, as a plan, in order to regenerate those areas, we are planning to plant 100 million trees in 10 years. We are also trying to make sure that we have an alternative source of energy such that we don't depend on trees and charcoal as the source of energy.
UNEP says deforestation is caused by the need for fuel, charcoal, agriculture, livestock, and construction. Melancol is the crowned South Sudan Miss Earth 2022. She says deforestation remains a major problem in South Sudan, adding that every South Sudanese should safeguard the environment for future generations by planting trees.
Since we have not yet fully advanced as a nation, it is causing us more harm than good, meaning we're exposing our country more and more to global warming. However, we can still save South Sudan and our planet in so many easy ways. One of the easiest is reforestation.
Binza Joel is a South Sudanese who is passionate about agribusiness. He says trees planting in both urban and rural areas can reduce the effect of climate change.
Many people's energy needs within the city is satisfied by the use of tree products, that is charcoal, as well as using trees for fencing for security reasons. I want to emphasize that on this day, as much as we want to cut trees to satisfy our human needs, let's plant trees. Let's plant at least, as you cut one tree, plant five trees to replace for sustainability and for the next generation. Having a good tree around your house is having a clean air to breathe.
South Sudanese environmental activist says management of the forest around the capital could help residents of Juba town who are struggling with high temperatures throughout the year. Salwa Suzi is a resident of Juba. She says having trees around populated city like Juba comes with a health benefit.
We need to be planting more trees to be able to change the climate in this country. Another effect of deforestation is climate changes. We have seen less rain this year due to the less numbers of trees in this country, especially in Juba town. Because when you compare Juba town to a lot of other cities, Juba is hotter than a lot of the towns I have been to.
Some environmental activists in South Sudan are calling for the introduction and implementation of effective forest-related programs, policies and legislation to protect forests in the country. For VOA News, I am Juliana Siapai in Juba.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yeheyes Wuhib in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Mokibilia Baro, and our engineer, Cornelius Tanner, Thanks for choosing the Voice of America.